Welcome to After the Bell. I'm Zach Borman. Today, I am joined again by Sue Darden, our West Data Education Association observer, who sat in on Monday night's board meeting of trustees. Apart from it being the first of the new year, what was special about Monday's board meeting?
Well, a few years ago, the legislature changed it so that new board members took their oath of office in January, and the board had to reorganize. And so two new members have been elected in the November election, Trustee Frazier from Zone 1 and Trustee Shepherd from Zone 3. So they were sworn in and took their oath of office on Monday.
Was there any sort of rumors or any expectations of how Frazier and Redford were going to kind of fit into the new board here?
They had both campaigned that they were there to represent the parents' voice, that they were looking at making sure that there were transparency, and they definitely would not ever tolerate a mask mandate.
Okay, even at the height of Omicron spread, where an enormous number of students are out on a given basis, huh?
They made that a big part of their campaign, that there would be no mask mandate, and Trustee Kofelt feels the same way. So with a 3-2 vote, I don't think we will ever see a mask mandate again.
And technically, that power resides in the board, not necessarily Bub. So even if Bub had wanted to reinstate a mask mandate and the board did not approve, remind me of where that power lies at the moment. Had the previous board entrusted that power to Bub to decide, or is that entirely within the hands of the board at the moment?
They had given it to Bub, and this board has not made any changes to that. So currently, Dr. Bub could call for a mask mandate, but then the board, I would expect to have an emergency meeting and take care of that. So if he tried, I don't think it would last long.
Okay. And when they call an emergency meeting, is that they have to give a week out on so they can post the emergency meeting agenda? Or is that something like they could be on Tuesday night, hey, we're going to have a meeting on Thursday or something?
They have to give 24 hours notice.
Okay, so we have a new, I don't know if it's, is it a supermajority at this point? But the dynamics have kind of switched, particularly in terms of health, public health mandates and stuff like that, right? With now that Klopfenstein and Buffy, who were probably the most slow moving or sort of concerned about public health measures and being cautious and that kind of thing. But
I would say they were the ones that really looked at data the most data driven, and instead of going by emotion.
All right. So we have this new board made up, and you said they needed to reorganize. So what does reorganization involve, and how did they go about doing that?
They had to appoint a clerk, a board chair, a vice chair, and then there's a lot of other positions, mostly related to federal mandates they appoint just district personnel on a whole big list. But the interesting thing was the election of the board chair and vice chair.
Johnson was the board chair, right? Was she wanting to continue in that position, or was she stepping down?
I think she kind of saw the writing on the wall, and it's a big responsibility, and she's taken a lot of flack. And so she started off by nominating Trustee Azuna, and then immediately Trustee Frazier spoke out against it, saying that the mandate from the electorate was that they have new representation. And so when it came to a vote, it was 2-3. And so Trustee Azuna was not the board chair because Trustee Frazier, Trustee Shepherd, and Trustee Kofelt all voted against her. Then Trustee Frazier nominated Trustee Kofelt. At that time, it was disclosed that he will be leaving the board probably this summer to take care of family matters. And so Trustee Johnson and Trustee Azuna both raised that concern that the board needs continuity. But with a 3-2 vote, he was elected the board chair.
Was this information previously known, or this was the first revelation that that Kofelt wasn't planning on being there for much longer than the rest of the school year?
He had shared it prior to the meeting with all the board members. So it was the first time it had been disclosed to the public.
Right. Was there any talk about either Frazier or Redford being running as chair?
No, they nominated Trustee Kofelt, but then Trustee Shepherd nominated Trustee Frazier to be vice chair. And with those three votes of Trustee Frazier, Trustee Shepherd, and Trustee Kofelt, she became the vice chair. Trustee Johnson and Trustee Zuna spoke out against it, citing her lack of experience.
And they actually voted nay against her, even though they were clearly going to lose, right? I mean,
right. They wanted it on record, and it was that, yeah. It was not a personal attack. It's just that she has zero experience. She had been on the board for less than 15 minutes at that time.
Yeah. This all unfolded. I kind of had heard rumors about this, so I jumped online. I'd been in a different meeting at that particular point, but went back and watched this exchange, and it really reminded me of like a Jane Austen parlor drama or something like that. Just, I don't know. It was tense. It felt like the relationships were already strained, and this was a potential sign of things to come for me.
But it was interesting because usually it's a 5-0 vote or, you know, something for most things. But they were also polite. Though I appreciate Trustee Azuna's dedication, I feel that we need to go in a new direction and, you know, is all like, you know, saying all the nice things, but stabbing him in the back at the same time.
Correct. Yeah. That's what I was going for with the Jane Austen thing is like, that it sounds all very nice on the surface level, but if you're really kind of tracking what they're saying to each other, it was quite feisty and stuff. But
yes.
Okay, so we elect Kofelt as the new chair, and the transition happened immediately thereafter, right? Then Johnson literally moved seats, and Kofelt stepped into the chair position. Yes,
and that always happens. Every time they do that, they just like switch the nameplates and get up and switch seats. So I've seen several changes of the board chair, and that's the way they do it.
All right. Where did we go from here?
Well, after they elected the vice chair, then they had to approve all the other appointments, which are just a list, and a resolution stating when all the meetings were going to be. And they're keeping the Monday, the second and fourth Monday of the month as the dates. And they had to say that they'd be posting them. They are no longer going to be posting at the City Hall and other public buildings around Meridian because they are going to be putting it on Facebook and online instead, which more people can access, I think, easily. Then following all of that, we have Dr. Bubb giving a spotlight. They recognized the SROs and the dedication because Sunday, I guess, is Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. And so they had a whole line of SROs come in. A couple of them spoke. There was a little video from the SRO at Victory Middle that the district had done. And so they thanked them for all their dedication and the relationships that they build with the students and faculty.
So SROs, this may be a very naive question, right? But SROs are not actually employed by the district at all. They're just kind of like loaned from the Meridian or the Boise Police Department. Yeah.
Actually, a few years back, 7 or 8 years, they have to be partially paid by the district. It used to be the city of Meridian covered that. Ada County covered theirs and Boise. And I'm not sure if Ada and Boise still do. But the city of Meridian expected the district to pay part or half of something or of the salary. So they are paid by district funds.
Interesting. So Bubb continues his spotlight. Did he mention at all the increasing numbers or anything? Was there any mentions of health concerns or anything? Or is it just kind of various good things happening?
He gave it about 45 seconds to it. He said that they're keeping track of numbers. He encouraged parents to keep sick kids home and thanked the custodial staff for all they're doing to implement sanitation procedures. And that was it. No actual numbers are given. But if anybody really believes the district numbers, I mean, I have a bridge I can sell you.
speaking of district numbers, if I am understanding this correctly, they actually bumped it down again. Cause I think it was like initially, what was it? 14 days tracking. And then they moved it down to like 8 days.
10 at a time, and now days. 5.
And now it's 5.
Yeah, and right. They keep track of the ones that they can tie directly to there. So if somebody just, the parent calls in sick on a Monday and says that their kid has COVID, if they choose to disclose that, that will not count in the numbers because there's no evidence they got it at school. And they're not really doing any tracing. So like I said, you know, trust the numbers if you want, but then there's reality.
Yeah. My reality currently is, I'd say at least a third of my students are missing at the moment, but that's just a rough estimate. Do we know what the justification of moving it down to 5 days was? Just that the CDC's isolation period was 5 days?
Right. Because when they come back, they're supposed to have a mask on for another 5 days.
But it's also optional and no one's really tracking that probably. Right.
Well, and again, it's if the parents disclose. I had a kid who was gone for a week, came back not wearing a mask, and you can't ask. And so did they have COVID or did they have something else? And, you know, anyway, so if they choose to wear a mask when they come back, but since we can't require or ask if they've had COVID, it's totally up to that individual.
Interesting. Well, we'll see where our numbers go from here. I mean, the numbers that we do have access to. Okay, so let's move on. The next little segment was we heard from, so Amy White was called up, who was just hired as the West Ada General Legal Counsel, and to talk about open meeting laws and board protocols.
Right. So this is a first. Amy has consulted with districts for many years, and so she has a lot of experience with district issues. And so she has been hired by just West Ada now. And so she started off, because we have two new board members, talking about open meeting laws and giving some definitions of decisions, exchanging information, and letting them know that if they get information from a certain person, when if they use that to make a decision, they have to disclose that. And she talked about some violations if they are meeting outside, and then a daisy chain, which is when one board member contacts another board member, and then somebody contacts another board member. So they're all sharing information, but not talking at one time. Because a true open meeting law is when three or more trustees are together discussing district issues at one time. But if they tried to do it over the phone, but we're still focusing on an issue or making decisions, that's a daisy chain. And that's also illegal. They can't vote in secret ballot. But she did say, because there's been questions about their, they can require masks at the in the meetings. They can limit seating. They can hold meetings virtually because those are all like board protocol. So, but you know, as long as public has access to them. But then she talked about an executive session and reasons to go into an executive session. And then the most interesting part was when she talked about the type of meetings that they could have.
Real quick, a couple quick questions about Amy White. Who was West Ada's general legal counsel prior to this?
West Ada did not have one designated general counsel. I believe there was a law office that they would contract with, and that may have rotated. And Amy has been one person that the district has consulted in the past. And at one time, when the legislature had allowed it, she was the negotiated for the district with the union for teacher salaries. And so she has been involved for many, that was, I'm trying to think like 8 or 9 years ago. She's been involved in that, her kind of her whole practice has dealt with district issues. So she's consulted with many districts around the region.
And this whole segment that Amy presented is essentially just to make sure that the new board members understand the difference between like ethical and unethical and or legal or illegal, right? I mean, what would potentially happen if a board member were in violation, if they were meeting to discuss strategy in a group of three or something like that?
Okay, you know, if
like
that what, is proven, sadly, the only thing that really does happen is whatever they voted on, they have to do it again in public. And they also, the maximum penalty is $1,000 fine. So I've done some research on it, and it's kind of a slap in the wrist, but it's made public, it, you know, that these people who are supposed to be transparent are not, if they violate the open meeting laws.
Okay. Interesting. Okay. So what can you tell me the difference between there were three different types of meetings that the board can hold? Is that correct? Am I right on that?
So what they have their general meeting, but I guess what they can do is they can allow people in an open meeting. You can sign up to talk about any topic that you want. It doesn't have to be on the agenda. However, it can't be disclosed personal information about a student or staff member. And so people could bring up something if they wanted to talk about CRT, if they wanted to talk about books that they want banned, or any other general concern that they have, they could bring it up without it being a topic. Currently, the district uses the type of meeting where if you want to speak, it has to be only to something on the agenda. And then the third type of meeting they could have is where they do a public forum, which is on a specific topic, like having one on masking, or the big one they use is when they do a boundary changes. And so people come and speak for or against the proposed boundary changes.
So what came out of that discussion? Any interesting discussion by the trustees themselves there?
Well, later they are going to come up, and comes right after this. They want to talk about they had approved a district board procedures handbook, but they left out the page about public communication because they wanted to have this discussion. And Trustee Frazier and Trustee Redford believe that at every board meeting, patrons should be able to come in and speak to any topic. They did talk about how they might need to have a time limit so that meetings aren't going till midnight or one, that they could say, okay, for 1 hour, we will take patron comments. But then would they limit each person to 3 minutes? They didn't say that. So that's something. And they've asked Amy to come up with a proposal that they can look at and then go from there. So she's tasked with coming up with some rules or guidance to use if they do allow public comment on any topic at future meetings.
Gosh, I can't. Have you ever watched the show Parks and Rec, Sue?
No, I actually haven't.
Oh, there's these great repeating scenes where they just have sort of public comment and the randomness, you know, allowing anyone to speak on any issue is a recipe for trouble, is all I'll say.
Some boards do that, and they have found, you know, because people will bring up some very bizarre things. And so in all the years I've been coming to West Ada, they have not chosen to do that, but this new board may take it a different direction. So it could make future meetings very interesting and very long.
Yes. Well, I hope for your sake, for all of our sakes, that they don't evolve into that, but are more efficient uses of all of our time. But anyway, anything else worth mentioning from this particular meeting? Anything else of import happen?
They did approve a policy on interviews and searches, and they the two new board members or two board members have been appointed to the policy review committee because they needed two on there so they needed two new ones. So Trustee Azuna and Trustee Redford will be on that committee, and
that committee, are they responsible for just kind of like, so they're proposing policies, reviewing policies, kind of getting rid of old useless policies and that kind of thing? Is that
right?
Is that correct? They meet once a month, and
right. They now have set kind of a cycle to go through and look at policies because some had been around from literally the 80s. And so, you know, is there anything that should be updated, combined? And so they've set up a cycle to go through those and new things as they come. And previously the board had not had an input until they came before them. So the previous board had asked that they have representation on the committees, And since you can't have three board members there without calling it a meeting, they have two board members. And so those are the two. And then the only other thing was future agenda items. Trustee Johnson does want to know what the plan is for absences of staff and COVID protocols. Trustee Azuna was concerned about doing a facilities review and handling the growth that we're seeing. And then Trustee Frazier wanted to, I think it was Trustee Redford, wanted a spotlight on the community schools and the amazing work that they're doing in the district.
Okay.
And then they went into executive session and I left because that was the end.
Okay. They didn't, as far as these future proposals, that is not committing them to anything necessarily. It's just kind of like a general, hey, what are some issues should we probably touch on at some point this year?
Well, it's kind of a directive to Dr. Bubb and the DSE staff that this is what they would like. And so they want them to prepare, you know, because Jonathan and some other people would have to get the information on facilities and bonding and, you know, the nurse, the head nurse would need to get stuff on the COVID and they'd need to get their numbers again, if we want to believe those. And then that somebody have to like get information, get people to come from McMillan. So the district staff would be in charge of setting all that up at some point.
Fair enough.
They didn't give a timeline, just things I'd like to see in the future.
Okay. And is there another board meeting this month or is there only the one this month again?
No, they have one on Monday the 24th.
Okay. All right. Well, Sue, thank you so much for your time. And I'm sure we'll be talking with you after the 24th.
Okay, great. Thank you, Zach.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.